You might like to open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. God help them. Perhaps we can open in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you, Spirit of God, honor your person by honoring Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Honor your person by honoring your word. Honor your person that we might honor the Father. God, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for all that you are, all that you do. Speak, deal with our heads and our hearts, even now. God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we have proceeded the last living apostle. The Gospel of John, written before the turn of the century, along with Revelation and the First John. And in the light of that, his assignment is to bring to us the wonderful person of God. In the light of all of history, secular history, sacred history, to bring it all together. It's all God when it's done. It's all about you creating us humans for the wonderful privilege of bearing witness to your glory, your honor, and your majesty. Now, so here in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, our Lord Jesus Christ, 3 years have gone by. We're into the last months, no more than six, less than that, before he's crucified. And they cross over the Jordan, and they go because Lazarus has passed on, died, and the Lord waited till he did die in order to put together all the pieces of him in and by his wonderful management. And therefore, John chapter 11 and in verse 4, when Jesus heard that he said, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that, the glory of God, in order that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So God, this whole thing allowed and arranged by you in your wonderful management is to make it clear about who you are in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. That we might understand God by way of God the Son, by way of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, chapter 11, verse 11. So it's all about that. So you want to know the whole thing is arranged and outworked and allowed to happen that the God might be made clearer to the human head, human heart. Verse 11. These things said he, after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go up that I may awake him out of sleep. So it gives, remember the word sleep is used of death for believers. And the Lord Jesus said he sleepeth, he's dead. The disciples thought he was asleep in the normal way of sleeping. And the purpose, the Lord is going to go to glorify himself, and he's going to go and do that by waking him up, causing him to rise again from the dead. Now, remember sliding down to verse 14, so there was no question about the word sleep. We go to verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus is dead. Dead, dead. That's what he is. And So, and they're going to continue going, thus in verse 15, and the purpose, and I am glad for your sakes, these are the disciples, I was glad I was not there so that you would never see no visual relationship. I was not there to the intent purpose that you may believe. I'm not there, and you were not there, is so that you might believe. Believe what? That who I am. Verse 4, I am the Son of God. I am the Son of God. I am God. You need to understand that. Do you understand it? No, but you will. You will. Now, so it's all about for the disciples to be able to believe who he is. Got that. All about that. So now, the whole arrangement. So in the light of that, so they needed the understanding. Verse 24, chapter 11. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now there's no question that they had understanding of some kind, but not enough. They knew things, but not as they needed to know them. And what they knew needed balance and correction in order to rightly rely and rightly rest on solid ground, on truth and reality. You've got to have your thought and your thinking correct. You can think all kinds of things, but you need to think them rightly. You can have all kinds of information. You need to make sure all that information is accurate, is true, is right. Martha and Mary had understanding, and they knew things, but they didn't know them well enough to enjoy them. They didn't know them well enough to be any practical, profitable benefit to them. Think of all the things that you may know, or you think you know, or you want to know, that are actually no benefit to you at all. Information that is practically no personal benefit to you. Now, so here's Mary and Martha, and they agree, Martha in this case, and Martha understands that there's a wonderful future. Verse 24, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. In other words, I have hope, but my hope is in the future for how I understand it, and in distant future, when is the future, and when is it going to happen, how is it going to ever happen, ever, etc., etc., etc. What comfort is there in that? What kind of help is there in that? What kind of real hope is there in that to get me down the corridor of time? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That isn't enough. So you can say, well, wonderful, wonderful future. But where is the future? When is the future? Well, that's what, here's Martha. Martha has that information. And she needs an answer. God is going to answer it directly. He's not going to help her with the question. He's going to give her the answer of why the question is legit in the light of the future. So, and remember in Acts 4:12, they're going to tell you about our Lord Jesus Christ, neither is there salvation in any other name given among men, whereby you must be saved. So our Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. And he's going to help them now. The question is given, verse 24. We share together in verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Now remember now, the brother is going, the Lord Jesus, verse 23, go back a bit. Verse 23, Jesus said, Lazarus will rise again. Her statement, verse 24, I know that somewhere in the future, but I don't have any help. I don't have any encouragement by that at all. I don't understand it. So it isn't truly a practical truth to me. I don't know it. Therefore, Jesus answered, verse 25, I am that I am, I am. Remember Exodus 3 and 14. Moses said, who shall I tell Israel has sent me? Who shall I tell Pharaoh that has sent me? And God said, my name is I am that I am. That's enough. I am exactly, always, forever who I am. I can be no other, no one less, and no one more than who I am. I am. Hang on to that. And then he says it, and John gives us, telling us, I am that I am that I am that I am. As we turn the pages, John wrote them down about so that we would understand. Now here he is saying again in John 11, at this very special occasion, he's going to say the little two words again, I am, I am. Going to say it again, this time bringing it all together, and he's going to put it right up front because they have a problem about the resurrection, about death, about sorrow, sin, suffering. How do you answer sorrow, sin, suffering? What do we say in life? We all face it more or less in one form or another. So, if you would, I am that I am. Now he repeats it again and again. Now remember now, over if you would, go back with me to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, just to lock it in, John chapter 5 and verse 18. Remember now who he is, the Jews, unsaved, unbelieving Jews, are extremely clear about his comments and who he is. Other people read the Bible and don't see it. They understood it. It's very important to understand they were very clear in the reality of the words that he said. They understood exactly what he said. They didn't like what he said because remember the Jewish people along with the world has a problem. How can God in his infinite, wonderful person who created everything and everything is in the middle of God and God has no beginning and end, how can God be a human, a man like us? And that's a problem. They couldn't understand that. They couldn't receive that Christ the Messiah could be God. And he had to be God, but they didn't make the connection. Chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Over to chapter 10 again. We read it. I'm going to read it again. Chapter 10, verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Well, what is that? What did you just say? Because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. You make yourself God. I am. You're identifying. Verse 11, chapter 11 of John, verse 25. I am. I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't answer a question. He isn't going to tell her of the process. He isn't going to tell us of the time, her tell us of the timing. He isn't going to tell us the act, define resurrection. He didn't go through any of that. He just said very easily, clearly, plainly, I am, I am, I am. I myself, in my wonderful person, am the resurrection and the life. I'm not telling you it's all going to happen in a wonderful day, a judgment day, and resurrection, and the future is all wonderful. But do you understand? The future is in me. I am a person. I am God, the Creator. Genesis, John 1, 1, 2, 3. 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 3. All things were made by me, and nothing exists that I didn't make happen. In me, in my person, is everything. Do you understand? You're looking out there for something to happen. I'm standing in front of you, and everything that ever will happen is in me. I am the resurrection. I am why it will happen. I am how it will happen. I, my person, am the resurrection. Do you understand that? Hang on. You understand? God help us. You need to see it. It's wonderful. It isn't in things and events. It's in the wonderful person of God who created us in his own image. That's why when you read, as you know, in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he or she that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is. I am. Do you understand? God is the creator. And everything that is, you want to talk about anything? I'm it. You want to find anything? Come to me. That's why the Lord Jesus will say in Matthew 11, etc., verse 29, get your learning from me. ABCs, they're all in me. You want to understand? How do we, Genesis 1, 1 and 2, in the beginning, God. How do you explain anything? You've got to come to God, the person. And that's where it all is. That's wonderful. It's a person. And hang on. Wow. Now, so God in the light of that. Therefore, verse 11, chapter 11, I should say, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that is believing, present tense, in me, the little preposition in, it involves entrance into, going down, out, going, coming through the door, entrance into the room, coming into and sitting down, enter and sit down. Is the little preposition. I want you to understand, I want you to have a unique, awesome relationship. You need to believe in order to understand, I am the resurrection and the life. You need to believe what? Come in my direction through the door and sit down, believe me, who I am. That's what I want. Would you believe who I am? Well, we do, but you don't. You don't understand who I am. That's the problem, Martha. You don't understand. So now, in the light of that, verse 25, the end, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He's going to live. And now we're going to go and expand that and explain that. So when we're going to go to verse 26, you want to go what? I am the, believe in me, though he were dead, though he's dead, he's going to be alive. Now you're going to explain it. I am. That's why verse 26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Whoever you are, that whosoever liveth, a person that's alive on planet Earth and believes, because dead people don't believe, as it were, in Earth, because they aren't here. Dead people that are alive, whosoever believe, and they're going to have a wonderful, wonderful entrance. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, the end of verse 25, though he were dead, yet shall he live. How is he going to live? Well, the person that's living is going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in me. That's repeated again. In me, who I am. Yet he shall live, no question. Now, and shall never, the little word in verse 26, shall never, double negative in the Greek, oh, in no wise, absolutely, it will not happen. It will not happen. It will not. You will not die. So he's talking to Martha, Mary, and trying to, to Martha in this case, and Mary, and trying to encourage her. She needs right now encouragement. There's no sense, her brother is dead, the funeral is basically all finished, except for the mourners. It's all over. So where's the help? Where's the hope? You need to understand, not about Lazarus. Lazarus hasn't got a problem. You have a problem. Lazarus right now doesn't have a problem at all. But you do, Martha. Therefore, you will need to understand, if you believe in me, I am that I am. I am the resurrection. I a person. You want to understand the resurrection? I am the understanding you need. I control, have access. I am going to make it happen because it's in me. I make it happen. It's in me. I am the resurrection. The resurrection will only exist because I make it exist out of my wonderful person. Now, so here, John chapter 8. Lord, you said it more than once. John chapter 8. And picking up, if I may, verse 51. 8 and 51. I'm going directly in the light of the context to the point we're trying to get across. The Lord didn't, this isn't a new thing. Well, you will never die. Do you understand that? You got to understand, you'll never die. Verse 51. 8:51. Verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Never see death. No. And to add to that, John chapter 8, while you're there, John chapter 8, and picking up, if I can, in verse 20-21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Verse 24, I said therefore unto you, you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You're already distantly different. You're separated. You're dead. You're spiritually dead. You have no life whatsoever. None. You have no relationship to God. You have a relationship to your parents, to your father and mother by birth. And you have that. That's a legitimate, earthly, physical relationship. And you have that. You do not have it to 25 different people. You have it to two people, not to 25. And it's the only one. And you have a legitimate relationship. And here we are on planet Earth. And if you don't have a relationship to me without spiritual birth, you have to be born and believe. Believe that I am who I am. You need to receive me as your Savior. If you haven't done that, you don't have me. And if you don't have me, you don't have any relationship to me. You have to have me who I am, said the Lord Jesus, in order to have a relationship. Now, how can you have a relationship to God, be born again, without me? How do you have one? You don't. You don't have one. You're dead. I am life. And without me, you don't have any life. You have existence. I made you that way. But you don't have life. That's mine. My uncreated, wonderful life if it's to be related to you by birth, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, in the light of that, and remember now, well, do it, John chapter 16, because you want to keep it fresh in your mind. You'll die in your sins. Now keep in mind, Christ already has paid the price, will pay the price for their sins. Christ is going to die on the cross in just a few months, a few weeks. He's going to die on the cross for their sins. Every single sin, every single word, thought, and deed that is unacceptable to God, that keeps you from being saved, that keeps you from God's holy, happy heaven, that keeps you from life. Christ died on the cross to take care of every single sin in your life. Period. You didn't ask him. You didn't pray. You didn't merit it. You didn't deserve it. It is something God has done. Every single sin in your heart and mind, he died so that he can say to you, I am the resurrection and the life. Believe me. John 16, remember, verse 8. When he has come, and he will reprove, convict, convince the world. 16, verse 8. Reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Verse 9. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to convict, convince of sin. Singular. Because they said bad things, did bad things. No, no, no. Christ died for that. Otherwise, there'd be no good news anywhere. Because we're all guilty. We'd never be able to have any good news. Of sin, verse 9, because they believe not on me. Singular. They need to believe. What do you say? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, who I am, has everlasting life. You got to believe me, my person. Wonderful, wonderful. I got to believe. That's right. And remember now, and we'll do that, sin. So one sin, and all your sins make you guilty, and you'll die in your sins if you don't get saved. But it isn't your sins that caused your death. It's you didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you could have had life, but you didn't. And you should have. And God made it possible. But you didn't do it. So now you need to believe. And over, to help you with that, 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. And remember, verse 21, directly in the light of the context. For he hath made him, Christ, God hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Why? In order that we might be made the righteousness of God. Where? In him. Christ died for all our sin. Now hang on to that and keep that in front of you if you would. Now, in the process of that. So here is all of the wonderment, looking at God, and God in Christ said, I am that I am, and you need to understand that. So when you believe in me, you're going to understand that I have died for your sin, I have taken your place, etc. Now, and have that in mind, so when you believe, when you receive me as your Savior, over if you would please, to 1 John, back Revelation, the first epistle of John, chapter 5, to say it quickly and simply, 1 John chapter 5, when you believe, Christ has become sin for us. He bore our sin in his own body on the tree. He took our sin in his own body. Now, in chapter 5 of the Gospel of John, picking up, if I may, in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him God a liar, because he believeth not the record, the witness, that God gave of his Son. God has written and recorded in his word what he wants you to know. That's why you're reading John chapter 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. I recorded it for you. I had John write it down. I don't want you to have to wonder. I don't want you to have to wrestle with it. Do you understand? I wrote it down. It's there. It's there by the only person, apart from Paul that went up, etc., and came back. Our Lord Jesus Christ came, God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And then he went back. God, the only one that's there is you, God. The only one that is in the future is you. And the reality isn't in Buddha or anyone else. You alone have the reality of tomorrow. All we can do is go over to the gravesite and bury the dead and forget it. We ended there. We can't go any further. We don't know anyone that can go any further. We don't know anyone anywhere that can know. How can we know? Who's been there? I am. I have. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm God. Now hang on. Verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So the minute you believe on me, in me, towards me. Believe me as a person. I am the person. These things have I written, verse 13. That's why we're reading them. I've written them unto you that believe that you need to believe. What do you believe? You believe what I told you. That I am that I am. And that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know, K-N-O-W, know that you have eternal life. Not hope, not feel, not feel it, not hope it, but you have it. You know it. Why? And how, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And, sliding down to verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, in order that what, for what purpose? That we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, in Christ that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. Verse 20, in his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. So there's no question to even, it's just there. And God, you said it, you said it. And how's Martha going to be encouraged? How's she going to ever understand? Well, it starts with you, God. It starts with understanding you in your wonderful, wonderful person. How can we know? How can we know that death is vanquished? By the resurrection. My resurrection. Our body is corrupt. It goes in the ground and becomes the worms and everything, and becomes all dust, just like where it came from. Dust we are, and dust we goes back to. That's what we are. Are we more than dust? Absolutely. God said, listen, I'm trying to help you. O grave, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? There isn't any. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. You'll never die. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You'll never die. Why is that? Hang on. You'll never die. Oh, over it, if you would, Colossians chapter 3, not far away. Colossians chapter 3. God, when you come to know you as our Savior, what do we know? Well, you are the resurrection and the life. Absolutely. I am the resurrection. And well, hang on. Let me do something first. Over, if you would, please, to the Gospel, Romans, if you would, chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 6, may I remind you, I am the resurrection and the life. And I'm going to go directly to verse 9, 6, 9. Romans 6, 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. And if you have a unique relationship to Jesus Christ, death has no more relationship to him. He died for your sins and rose again. Never. He's going to tell John in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and can never die. Do you understand? I have the keys of death and hell, Hades. I own this whole thing. It's all about who I am. God, the Creator. It's a person. It isn't the record. The record, you could read the words and the promises. They're all there. The record. We're reading the words and looking at the record. What is the words and record are to be believed. Believed. But they can never give you the reality. You understand? God is the reality of those words. They're God's words, and he's the reality behind them. All you have is the record to read. That's all we do. The reality is a person. God. Do you understand? It's a person. All you read the words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The words. He's the reality. He's the shepherd. My shepherd. Wow. He's the reality to it. You can memorize them up to here. And that's wonderful. But there's no reality. There's no comfort. There's no encouragement. There's no confidence. There's no overflowing with the exercise and excitement. The reality, the experience, it's real. Why is it real? Because you're real, God. You understand? That's why it's real. What about the resurrection? I am the resurrection. That's why it's real. What's the only sign he's going to give? You know we shared it. The only sign he's going to give is the sign of the prophet Jonah, as he was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's the only sign I'm going to give to the world and the Jews. It's a resurrection. Where am I going to show it? In the heart of the believing believers that believe in their heart that God, Romans 10, God what? Here, you're right here. Go with me over to chapter 9. Chapter 10, better. Chapter 10. And you will know, please, chapter 10 of Romans, verse 9. If we shall confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, what? That God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What are we believing? He rose again. We are believers and witnesses. Not only he died, but he rose again. He is the perfect substitute. He took our place. He's the perfect sacrifice to satisfy God. God is perfectly satisfied. Propitiated is the word. He's satisfied, wonderfully satisfied. If you're going to go and think about it and look at it, and we need to go back over to Romans 6, there, Romans chapter 6. May I pick up, please, in verse 3, 6, 3, Romans. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized, placed into, immersed into, there's the little word, believe, you need, I am the resurrection and the life, you need to believe in me, into me. I, entrance, through the door and sit down, preposition. through the door, sit down. You need to believe. Into Jesus Christ, we're placed into Jesus Christ, and we're baptized into his death, that's right, and therefore we are buried with him by baptism, identified into death. Death, you took us into death. We went through the door and sat down in death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Wow, God, that's a wonderful thing. So we're going to say now, what position is there on planet Earth? What physician is there on planet Earth that can take care of death? Who has a prescription for death? Is that reasonable? Look in the great big phone book. Look on the websites and internet. Who has the answer for death? For death. Where are you going to go? What pharmacy are you going to go to get a prescription to save you from death? What pharmacy, what drug, what doctor can possibly save you from that? Now, let me give you an illustration quickly. You all, more or less, want to look at, I want you to just concentrate, and if you would, on my silliness. I want you to go and just think of yourself, and I want you to go look inside of yourself. And we do that, if you have the capacity, you look in a mirror to see yourself, don't you? I bet you not one of you are without a mirror somewhere in your life. Is anyone here has never looked in a mirror? And when you look in a mirror, who do you see? You see yourself, true? Now let's take a good look, and we'll look. That's what we don't like. We don't like to introspect because it's disastrous. If you go inside of your heart and mind without light, you're going into darkness. When you go into darkness, boy, are you in trouble. So we don't do that too much, and we don't let other people look in here because we don't even want to look in here in our heart. We don't want to look. We don't want to look, because if we really look, we aren't quite as good as we'd like to be. We aren't quite as nice as we'd like to be. We aren't qualified to have to be able to stand before the supreme law, the golden Ten Commandments, and pass the test. We don't pass the test. So we don't let anyone see in there. We don't let them get in. That's if you look at yourself honestly. Now you say, now I know when you're whatever age, you see yourself as beautiful, beautiful, wonderful, you know. But be of good cheer. Now, you who have aged wonderfully, you can go and look back. I have a picture of my Navy, Coast Guard uniform and all of that. And it was up in the bureau the other day somewhere. I was doing something. And I said, who's that? I said, who's that guy? And I looked at that guy, and then I went and looked in the mirror, and I said, something happened. Something happened. What on earth happened? You see? Something happened. So no matter how you think, beauty, brawn, veins, all of it is going to go. Understand? And if you don't understand that, let yourself leave your body, die, you exit your body, and leave your body on the ground, and we'll come back in a couple of months and see what condition it's in. That's you, right now. The difference is you're still in it, most of you, aren't you? You're still in your body. So therefore, your dead skin, you keep reproducing, etc. All the parts. Now, having said that, you can see that. Now I want you, that's you. And if you'll be honest, that's who you really are, and more so. Now I want you to go and look again. And I want you to look and see yourself. That's Christ died for the person in the mirror. Do you understand? Now I want you to look at your Bible. You read in Romans, etc. See the cross? Christ put you on the cross. Christ died for your sins. You look in the mirror and see yourself? Look in God's Word and see yourself. God sees you exactly as you are and more so. Now, I see myself in the mirror for good or bad, right or wrong. And we're to see ourselves in God's Word. I am crucified with Christ. I received Him as my Savior. He took me to the cross. Jesus Christ, who I'm turning the pages, I am the resurrection and the life. He took my sin in His own body on the tree. That's me. That's me going to the cross. That's me rising again. That's me. Lord, that's me. That's me in the mirror. And You died for me. And that's me in Your Word as I look in the mirror, a cross. That's me, saved. John chapter 5, if you're still in John. If you understand a little, I'm trying to help you understand being saved. You see yourself inside. God died for your inside so that you could believe and understand. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, John 5:24, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, judgment, but on the contrary is passed, all gone, from death unto life. John 11:26, believest thou this, that you'll never die? Do you understand? When you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive life itself. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath no life. When you receive Christ, you receive life. The life doesn't die. Christ doesn't die. God doesn't die. Do you understand? Your relationship. You have a relationship to your physical body right now. And it's in the process of dying. And pretty soon it's going to finish all the blood pump, your heart pumping blood and everything else, blood, all that stuff. All of that's going to be all over. And you're finished with your body. But you're never finished with your relationship to Jesus Christ. You'll never die. Do you understand that? Physically, you're going to leave the body, but you aren't going to die. When is that encouragement needed, Martha? Now. Lazarus isn't in trouble. You're in trouble because you don't understand I am the resurrection and the life. You're trying to use some theological words. You're trying to talk something about your religious thinking, but it isn't doing you any good. It's disconnected from reality. Who I am, the reality, God, the only Creator, the only Savior, you need to believe. I am the resurrection. You'll never die. So right now, if I were to die, or you were to die, if you're saved, I'm not going to die. I know that. It's just going to stop. I leave the body. I'm going to be with the Lord. Absent from the body, what? 2 Corinthians? Present with the Lord. It's going to have to be. It has to be. Why does it have to be? Because God did it. God is my life in Christ Jesus when I received Him. And I have a relationship. My mom and dad, my mother and father have passed on. I don't have any relationship to them. I'll never have a relationship to them again, except as being a believer and being saved. Apart from that, I never have a relationship as my mother and father. That's all over. But my relationship to God is never over. It's never over. It's for there, for real. It isn't the record. The record gets me to you, God. And God, I received you as my Savior. I looked and saw myself in the mirror. And you look and you already put me and tell me just what I'm like, that I'm a sinner, need to be saved by grace. And I believed. And God, you came in, you, the Creator, and gave me that which I didn't have. I was in a state of death, and I needed life. And you brought me that life. And when you brought me that life, you brought me all of the future, where my physical body will be put in the ground, and I will receive a new body at the resurrection. All of it because of you, God. Wow. Next time you look in the mirror, think about it. And then look in the Bible. And it says, wonderfully, did you ever read your name? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you ever read your name? Are you a whosoever? A whosoever?
No.
No. You are a whosoever. That's my name. Whosoever. Whosoever believeth. What did you tell me to do, God? To believe. So therefore I'm a whosoever that believes. And a whosoever that believes has life. That's what you asked. And that's why I got it. I didn't do anything. I don't deserve it. I'll never merit it. It isn't anything to do with my intellect or my nothing. It's about you, God. Being who you are, when I look in the mirror, remember, see the cross if you're saved, and see yourself, how God sees you in Christ. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God, a little bit, God, help us a little bit with trying, God, to understand so awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Wonderful God. It's to never die. We got to understand life in order to understand death. Life is a unique personal relationship to you, God, that we're missing until we receive the Lord as our Savior. God, you told us all these things. And God, we're to do them. We're to believe. That's what you did for Martha. You tried to trigger her mind and heart. That's why Lazarus died. That's why the disciples, our God, are to be exercised. They are to understand who they are following. They're following you, who are life itself. God, you're a wonderful person. Who you are everything. My peace, my joy, my love. God, you're everything. You're a wonderful person. Thank you very, very much. And for those who know you not, God, convince them that they would see themselves, not only in the mirror as they really are, but to see them as they are in you, God. You took them to the cross and paid the price for every sin, everything that is out of place in a human heart. God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we could sing a stanza, please, of 543. 543.